Ngadol Nyon grew up displaced from her family in a refugee camp.
I was born in Ethiopia, a refugee camp called Itam, and then sometime soon after we moved to Kakuma refugee camp, which is where I spent most of my childhood. And in around 2000, I met up with my mom again, and mom then decided to apply for resettlement to Australia.
Ms. Nyon arrived in Australia as an 18-year-old in 2005. She says it was her opportunity to pursue her lifelong dreams.
I knew when I was in refugee camp that I wanted to pursue further studies. I knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. And Australia has given me that. So really, really excited to be in Australia. And I used to pray that I'll make it one day so I can get to do all these things that I knew I couldn't be able to do in the refugee camp. Although I thought that if I came to Australia, I was going to have my own room. Ended up sharing a room with two of my sisters. So that was a bit of a downer, but beside that, I got to go to uni, I got to finish high school, I got to, you know, become a lawyer, I got to see my younger siblings grow up in a safe and secure environment.
She achieved her dream of becoming a lawyer. But then, after what she describes as a honeymoon period, came the challenges.
You begin to notice other issues as well impacting the community. So I think I'm much more conscious of the fact that I am black being in Australia than I was maybe in the refugee camps, because everyone else was black. And the consequences of that, you know, so facing, you know, having people just tell you when you're walking down the street, call you names, tell you to go back where you come from, unprovoked, you know, just by your mere presence. It can be a bit concerning when you find that your mere presence for some people is completely unwelcome.
Ms. Nyon has been part of a forum organised by the Anglican Diocese of Melbourne looking at challenges faced by the African community. It's been held in the aftermath of heavy media reporting of recent crimes linked to some youths of South Sudanese heritage. Ms. Nyon says their behaviour is inexcusable.
We have to understand, I suppose, and appreciate that if you've been a victim of crime, it's a very horrific thing. You know, as a person who has been displaced from my own home, I don't want anyone experiencing that terror of not feeling safe in their own bed and in their own home. I think it would be a very unfair thing to try and dismiss people's fears and concerns.
But she explains for some refugee youths it can be difficult to find a place in a new land.
I think it's a really complicated issue. I think you've got issues within the home. You know, you've got young people feeling out of place in their own home, not necessarily identifying as South Sudanese or as the kind of South Sudanese that their parents identify as. You've got young people who are dealing with the issue of race and discrimination in the public, people who feel squeezed out of both identities, struggling with the issue of employment.
Anglican chaplain Jackson Soma highlighted similar issues.
Settlement, of course, which is a very broad and quite a huge one, which the government thinks if someone is here for 5 years, that person settled. But indeed, no. People still struggle with settling even over 10 years. And so it's one of the big areas where people struggle. My concern is that some might really be hopeless, thinking that, yes, they don't have any future in this country.
He and Ngadol Nyon both say they fear the narrative around youth offending is making the problem worse.
You can really put a lot more people in danger. So, for example, when neo-Nazis, for example, decide that they're going to try and do something about this African young offending because the police are not doing enough, if we're not careful about how we talk about these things, we create rooms for things like that.
Ms. Nyon and Chaplain Soma say efforts by police are helpful, but the actions taken within the community are having the most impact.
There have been ongoing night patrols to try and get young people that, you know, have, for example, drug and alcohol issues and are on the train stations off the streets. I know there's a group of women call themselves the Daughters of Jerusalem, for example, who do some of this work. The churches have been significantly involved. I think more than anybody else, the South Sudanese community is the most concerned about their young people not succeeding here, because a lot of the parents did come here with the hope that this is a second chance for their kids.
The communities are doing a great job. I got involved in so many community meetings, The community and the church and everyone is really working towards what should we do about this.
Ms. Nyon says the collaborations will pay off, and the more the youth see success within their communities, the more likely they'll be to strive for it themselves.
That it is a minority group of people, and that the majority of South Sudanese people are doing their best and taking the full opportunities that they get in Australia to better their lives.